people aren't going to meet you where you are. You have got to stretch to meet them where they are.
The Worth Report, featuring Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
I had a no-nonsense dad that made sure that we understood clearly that without education, we were nowhere.
We'll take a look at the past, present, and future of the financial landscape and discuss how it affects you, your family, the world around you, and most importantly, your retirement.
From the time they were born, I began to take out savings bonds. And my goal was, whatever difference it'll make when it comes time to go to college, I want to make sure I have some money. And so when the oldest was ready to go off to college, I had $25,000 saved for him. We have got to be a lot more intentional about saving.
This is The Worth Report. Now, here are your hosts, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
Good Saturday. Welcome to The Worth Report. I'm your host, Nick Wharton, along with Glenn Wright, founder and president of Worth Financial. Each week, our brand promises to bring you news that you can immediately use to manage your financial planning. And we're going to offer commentary on local, national, and global events that affect your ability to sustain your financial future. You know, Glenn, a few weeks ago, we had Bridget Ann Hampton on the show, and she was one of our Black History Month speakers. And she shared such valuable information, so much so that, we also share some information for Women's History Month as well.
Which is this month. Very exciting.
Well, let's go to that conversation now.
So, Bridget Ann, you spoke earlier about raising your children, being a single mother, and that definitely tugged to my heart. And I know Nick as well, because we both grew up with single parents. So what was your experience? And when you looked at your financial management, being a single mother, how did that shape your reactions or actions to maybe think a little differently?
Well, I'll tell you, there was always this fear that I would never have enough. And that drove me. That drove me, even in my lowest points, to keep going. Because I now had these two young men that I had to raise. And then my sister passed, and she had a son. And I said, no, he's going to come live with me. So, you know, at age 12, he came to live with me. He came from age 10. So I had these three young men that I had to raise. And the concept of a village is very clear in my mind. But having said all of that, I was fortunate in that I realized that I had the ability to be successful. And it was up to me to take that ability and make it work for my household. Mm. So because of the upbringing from my parents, discipline was something that was extremely important in my household. And we didn't play. I remember once my son came home with an 85 on a test, and that was the lowest grade he had, and he was quite happy. And I went up one side of him and came down the other. And I said to him,
wow,
we do not accept 85s. I sacrifice, and I have a live-in housekeeper. She washes your clothes. She puts the breakfast on the table. And the only thing I ask you to do is take the garbage out every third week, because there were three of them, and study. 85s aren't good. Mm. And he was devastated. But he understood that mediocrity was not something that we would put up with in my household. Mm. The other thing I realized was I wanted to be very clear with their teachers that this was a partnership and that I understood my responsibility and I wanted to be clear on theirs. I traveled the world, but they always had a phone number for me. And I told them, all you have to do is tell my son or any one of them, would you like me to call your mom? Mm-hmm. I said, more than likely that will work. Because I guarantee you that when we get home, they understand that if I got a call from a teacher, they lost their privilege. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to hear from them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, raising boys is not an easy thing. But for me, It wasn't going to be a crutch. They were going to be solid young men, and I'm proud of all three of them, solid young men in the community. And so they were involved in a lot of sports. You know, they had a very well-rounded experience. But it wasn't me alone. It was the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I couldn't make it to take them to the religious classes. And so I made arrangements with their friends' mothers to pick them up and take them. I, you know, was on a first name basis with the cab company because I'm not there. So if the housekeeper has to go somewhere and take them to the doctor, you know, I built that community that made it work. And my sisters were also involved in it from a, you know, babysitting, because I went back when my youngest was three. I went back and got an MBA. So, you know, I mean, it takes a lot of sacrifice. But it's doable. It is doable. And that's what I want single mothers to hear, that this can work. But you got to make sure that you make the sacrifices. I'll share one thing with you. I decided that I wasn't going to date because I did not have time after a few failed relationships to bring people into the household to try them out. It wasn't going to work. Mm. I had X number of years to raise my children. And to make sure I did a very good job at that. That was my job, right? And that's what I wanted to devote myself to doing. Mm. And so I did that. When I thought they were at the age where they have learned all they can from me, I started to date again. Mm. But the sacrifices that you make.
Sacrifice.
You
know?
Wow. Extraordinary story. Yeah. So when I think about you and other powerful women that I've had the pleasure of being connected with, either through my mother, my wife, other women in my life, the Women's Intercultural Exchange, in which you and I both serve on the board with Cy as well. Yeah. So the difference I always realize with women in terms of how they think oftentimes, it's almost like having you know, several apps open in your mind at the same time, all of them running, and being able to manage all of that, right?
Yeah, I agree with you.
So at the same time, and listening to your story, your sojourn, even in the corporate space, you know, having to soar to a height that you soared, and always thinking, I'm assuming that the wind was always in your face on one level or another. So how did you manage all of that?
I mean, you know, I coined a phrase, the four quadrants of a woman's life. And it's actually, you know, you could probably use it anyway. But I talk about these four quadrants, and they are family, your professional life, your community, and self, right? And the goal for any woman is to be able to balance those four things. They are never 25%, right? They always leak into each other. But each woman has got to take those four segments that make them the whole being and figure out when they're out of kilter, what to do, how you bring it back in kilter, because each of those is what it takes for us to operate. How did I do it? It was not easy. I tell the story that in New York, there's a radio station called WINS 1010. In the morning, they give you everything you need to know about every sport. So I used to listen, and I knew my elevator speeches, because I happen to be in technology in the investment bank, all men. Oh, so the Mets won last night. That's all I needed to say. The conversation starts, right? Mm. It is all about acceptance. People aren't going to meet you where you are. You have got to stretch to meet them where they are. And I was determined that I was going to play in this space, because I realized the benefits from a financial standpoint in being in the investment bank. So we always were able to have something in common, to connect. And It helped that, you know, there were the few West Indian traits in me, so people would listen to my accent before they listened to me. And I didn't care what it took. Mm. I needed you to have the audience with me, because I knew that I could sell myself. But having said that, I had to be a student of my craft. There was no getting away from the fact. And I tell people, as women, use all of the attributes that you're given. Don't over abuse them, but use all of the attributes. You don't need to be a man to play in a man's game. Mm. Just be your authentic self, and it comes out. But at the same time, I knew that the beauty part wasn't going to go anywhere if I didn't have the brains part. So it was the combination of understanding what it took. And I chose opportunities that were outside the beaten path. So it allowed me to grow. It allowed me to take on risks, and it allowed people to see who I was.
Mm. Wow. That's incredible. So when I think about that story, I think about how incredibly complex all those movements are. So how do you stay sane in that space?
You got to be true to yourself. You got to be able to look yourself in the mirror every day and say, this is the authentic person. I used to say, when I had started out my career, boy, I couldn't wait for Saturday to put on my reggae music and get back into my culture, you know, because it was just like, oh my gosh. But as you grow and as you become more confident, you realize that you can bring some of that culture into the workplace. And thank God for the whole diversity push. Mm-hmm. You know, you're allowed to do a lot more of that. When we take on corporate America, we take on a behemoth that doesn't look like most of us. We have to assume a posture that is very different from the way we've been raised. Mm-hmm. We have to be clear. When you look in the mirror, you talk about integrity. That is what drives me every day. My firm belief in who my God is, my spiritual grounding, is something that I continue to pray for, that I be given that strength to be humble and to serve. That's mm-hmm. important to me. Mm-hmm. Integrity is extremely important to me. And I tell folks, guard your integrity. Do not fall for a dollar. Mm-hmm. Don't. It's just not worth it. And so when I'm able to look myself in the mirror, knowing that today, I don't think there's anybody that is upset at me. They may not have liked what I said, and that's okay, because I don't go into this for popularity reasons. I do this because it's the right thing to do. But just knowing that I'm respected is what's important to me.
Wow. That's a transformative conversation here. Wow. Yeah. How powerful is that? Thank you.
So something I'm thinking about, this is the wealth manager in me. When you were, and this is a question that when I speak with single mothers or women who are in the process of having children, but they're single, their number one concern is, well, I'm going to be out for a period of time. I may not be able to grow in the company because of that. I may be overlooked. And that's a period of time where I may be out on disability. So now that money, I'm no longer getting the employee match that I was receiving for that period of time as well. So now I'm behind economically. If you were speaking to that woman, what would you say to her to encourage her?
You know, I would say to her, first of all, believe that the Lord is gonna help you on this journey, right?
Amen.
I have to believe he helped me, because both of my children were born at the end of the year. I say I planned it, right? But they were both born in September and October.
Okay.
That was important for me because I wanted to make sure that I had gotten as much of the year in. So you talk about planning, okay? As much as the year in, so that I could still get a bonus at the end of that year. And I was only taking 3 months off.
Okay.
I realized that I had to stay on the treadmill. There was no getting off for more than 3 months for me.
Okay.
And that is the plan that I put in place. It may be different for other people, but what I say is always plan for that rainy day. He blessed me. I pushed them right out, no problem. I could go back to work and I was fine. That may not always happen. So you have got to, you know, companies offer disability. I carried disability insurance until I retired.
Mm.
All right. I don't have it anymore because my assets are such that I don't need it. But the point is, I always had disability. As a single mother, you've got to play the what if games. What if? And so the choices that one makes has got to reflect how you're going to have those contingency plans. For many years, I volunteered to speak at a conference that was held in August so that I could take my kids on a vacation. That was how we did vacation. It's easy enough for me to get up and speak. And all I had to do is get a hotel room, and I'm good to go. They go off and do their thing, and I had one of my sisters come. They had their vacation, and I spoke at the conference.
Outstanding.
Right? That's so you've got
planning.
Planning. You've got to be very creative, and your situation is different from somebody else's. Don't look at anybody else's. Figure out how you're going to make that situation work, because it can work. It can work.
Wow, how strategic is that? So you're retired now. And you're doing it
happily.
Well. Happily retired, right? So what's that like for you right now? I mean, you've got this incredible experiences and knowledge and this servant leadership heart. What's it like for you now?
You know, it's only been 8 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, coming up on 8 weeks. And so there may be one act left in me. I don't know. But it feels good to be able to stop and to assess where will I give my time and to whom those beneficiaries will be. Mm-hmm. I am not going to stop. I can't stop. I feel so blessed that I wake up every day asking God to put me in a situation where I can continue to give, whatever it is. I feel like I've given my share. I've given enough pints of blood that it's time for me to be in the coach mode. You know, I love that mode for the kids. I love the fact that they can come to me and they can ask me any question about finances or whatever. We can have those kinds of discussions. Mm. And I want to make sure that more families can have those kinds of discussions. So I'll be very selective about how I give my time. But rest assured, the focus is going to be on my community.
Wow. Well, thank you so, so much, Bridget Ann, for being here with us and for, you know, really selecting us to be a part of at least this period in your life before the next act, if you will.
Oh, thank you. No, thank you for your time, and thank you for having me. This has truly been a pleasure.
Outstanding.
Financial news you can use. This is the Worth Report. Now, back to your host, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
When I say the word future, what do you think about? Your kids? Your retirement? For me, I wanted security and comfort. Then I met Glenn Wright with Worth Financial, and that's what I got: security and comfort. Glenn is a real financial advisor. He walks you through every step of your financial future and gives you a plan that will work for you. So do what I did. Pick up the phone and call Worth Financial, 704-731-0121, or simply log on to their website at worthadvisors.com. Trust me, you'll be glad you did. For financial news you can use, and for some security and comfort, get in touch with Worth Financial today.
You're listening to The Worth Report with Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright, giving you financial news you can use.
Welcome back to The Worth Report. I'm your host, Nick Wharton, here with Glenn Wright. You know, Glenn, that was yet another incredible conversation. I'm so pleased we had a chance to provide that second part of the conversation for our audience. She was just a remarkable, remarkable interview.
Fantastic. Once again, very eye-opening. She was very transparent. It just bleeded through the microphone. It was incredible. And I picked up points, so I'm sure our listeners did as well.
Yeah, what resonated for you?
Nick, there were many things. One was this fear, as she said, fear of not having enough. Fear in financial, it's the 180 of success in financial planning, because fear can stop us from achieving our dreams. And fear, one fear is not opening up. She made mention before that she's used a wealth advisor to help her and making some of these financial decisions. And she is a brilliant woman.
Yes, she is.
But she has humbled herself enough to know, I don't know everything about everything. So if she does it, And, you know, as we mentioned before, the president of the United States has a cabinet. If he's doing it, then why don't we do it? So the fear of not having enough and allowing that to drive for that, that just resonated with me. And another one, Nick, was how important education was to her.
Yes, absolutely. Because one of the things that, that really, you know, just really stuck with me is really how she was raised. The lessons she learned
yes.
at a very, very early age, which really supports the notion that, you know, fear can be also sort of false evidence appearing real, because at an early age, she was tutored and really just shaped to not be afraid of the future and to really plan financially.
And think about for her kids. And when she talked
Correct.
About how her son made it 85, but that wasn't enough.
That's right.
You know, education is so important. And there are many articles out there that show, and much data that's been reported, that shows that people who have less education tend to live shorter lifespans, meaning they die earlier.
That's right.
So she wanted the best for her children, and we want the best for all the listeners. Mm-hmm. So we focus on education, not just because it's important from a financial standpoint. Everybody understands that if you have a college degree, you tend to make more than just having a high school diploma. If you have a master's and then a doctor, you tend to make more. But that's great. But what that does for you on where it allows you to live, the options that you're able to have in life can actually set you up to have maybe better health care. So now you have a longer lifespan where you can possibly live even more comfortably. And we talk about legacy giving that she talked about as well. Now you're in a position to do even more. So this education is so important.
Yeah, well, consistent with that, a few weeks ago, my wife and I had the wonderful pleasure of attending the Heart Ball. And it's put on by the American Cancer Society and American Heart Association, rather. And what we learned is that every hour, a woman dies from some form of heart disease. And so when I think about the extraordinary success and the extraordinary stress that Bridget Ann Hampton, you know, tackled her corporate journey with. And she, you know, she's also a runner, and she stays in great shape. And she talked about how, you know, she just, her faith has really been a strong element that helped her through this. But she also talked about when she had her children. She stopped out for, what, 3 months she was out, I think, and came back to work. Now, that might be, you know, a bit challenging for many women, particularly at the executive level that she's at. But she, because she took care of herself, she was able to come back and really assume, you know, her leadership position. And that, in a sense, flies in the face of an article that it is written up in the Barron's report that talks about one of the reasons why women have smaller retirement portfolios is because they leave the workforce for an average of 11 years to care for family members in total. And that can be a challenge.
Absolutely.
That can be a real challenge.
They may leave on maternity leave or leave the first few years to take care of a child. And there is a price for that. There is a cost to that. And there was another article that was written by Laura Lee with Fox Business News. And it talks about, and this is a known number, that women make 77% of what men make. So you add that barrier on average on top of it, there are challenges. And what she talked about, which is what's so important for our listeners, is these are hurdles that are there. So we have right now, I mean, it hadn't changed today. It might be here tomorrow. So if you're faced with it, what are you going to do about it? And that's why the financial plan, it's so important. And really more so for women, because they have all the challenges that men have. And then you add all these extra challenges that right. they have, too. So planning, putting your budget on the table, right. making sure you can prepare. Mm-hmm. She talked about how it was really she sacrificed, but it was a village to help with her kids.
Yeah, the sacrifice was amazing, wasn't it?
I mean, exactly.
And it's not for the faint of heart. I mean, she talked about not dating for a period Ooh, of time.
Yeah.
You know, to be hyper-focused on her career. And you hear so much about it said that, you know, women can have it all or you can't have it all. Work-life balance, you know. Well, she crafted a level of, she figured it out that balance was really never going to happen. But her faith journey kept her focused on what was most important. And now she's made it through. She's now in a world where she's, in a, or rather in a place, where she's comfortable. But that's, yet has decided that retirement, in a traditional sense, is not what she's after. She's after continuing to make a difference and pouring into other folks' lives.
That's right. That's right. And it all started with a plan that she was very, very successful in implementing. And in that plan, she was able to save and put money away so she could pay some of these other people to help her in this plan. So as the listeners are thinking about their specific lives, what I'd like for them to think about are what extra ways are they going to have to plan. So, for instance, let's say that you have you're having children and you don't have any maybe a mother or father or someone who can help you to help raise the children while you have to work. You're going to have to pay somebody to do that. We need to think about that. And that's a cost. And we need to plan for that. Food. We're going to have to pay for that. Extra transportation, like she said, she knew the taxi driver. That is a cost. We need to understand what that cost is so we can plan and be prepared with it and not pay with it with debt or with a credit card, but with savings that's available. So therefore, we can continue to grow, because if you have children, then you have to plan and pay for this. But guess what? You're still going to have to retire one day. Hopefully, right? You still want to have financial independence. So you have to put it all together and put it with the plan. When there are perils of life that happen, and we all face them, good, bad, and ugly, when they happen, like, you know, for instance, the transmission goes out on your car or you need a new roof or something happens, having a plan helps you to prepare and adjust to those things so you can be ready, and continue to move forward, just like she talked about. So it is a sacrifice. It's not easy. But if you start now, wherever you are right now financially, you're going to be much better. And she clearly is a great example of that.
Well, that is clearly financial news that you can use. Thank you so much, Glenn. This has been great. If you want to learn more, speak with these expert advisors, contact Worth Financial at www.worthadvisors.com or pick up the phone and call 704-731-0121. See you all next week.
When I say the word future, what do you think about? Your kids? Your retirement? For me, I wanted security and comfort. Then I met Glenn Wright with Worth Financial, and that's what I got. Security and comfort. Glenn is a real financial advisor. He walks you through every step of your financial future and gives you a plan that will work for you. So do what I did. Pick up the phone and call Worth Financial, 704-731-0121, or simply log on to their website at worthadvisors.com. Trust me, you'll be glad you did. For financial news you can use and for some security and comfort, get in touch with Worth Financial today.